Man of Substance, isn't it?
Man of Substance. Come on. Come on.
For sure. You have to keep the name high.
So welcome you all back to Men of Substance podcast. In today's episode, we have one of my old friend of mine, Kwame. And he's still not fully a pharmacist, but you know, he graduated a few months ago and he's starting his training right now. And Kwame, I think maybe some of you already know him, is an advocate for mental health. He's very outspoken about it with his friends, with himself as well, and he also shares some of his life stories about it. And in today's episode, we are continuing the topic that we've been speaking about for the past few weeks, which is whatever it takes. So whatever it takes to achieve your dreams or your goals, and even today we'll focus more in what we go through during the times when literally we are not able to achieve it straight away, and we have to kind of wait and work extra hard at times to kind of even get some very, very little results. So, you know, just not to talk too much, I'll just get Kwame started by asking him to kind of present himself, you know, to the whole audience.
Yes, as Bice has already said, my name is Kwame Oseosu. I'm a trainee pharmacist, and also one of the things that I'm actually well known for is mental health advocacy. Apart from that, I'm also a speaker who actually talks about an array of topics, especially social activism, including stuff such as youth politics, such as inclusion and diversity. So those are the main stuff that I'm actually passionate about doing due to my background in youth politics back in 2013, 2015 in Enfield. So that's a quick summary about the stuff that I do apart from being a training pharmacist and also a mental health advocate.
Okay, that was great. So tell me a bit about your hobbies.
My hobbies, everybody who knows me knows that I don't actually play my music. Most often, I like music. I like listening to music because I grew up in a household whereby music was more like a therapy. You wake up Sunday morning, my granddad would be actually playing all the hymns, the Catholic hymns. In the afternoon, you hear music being played in the house, either on the radio, or as a cassette or as a CD back in Ghana. And my older brother also introduced me to other genres of music such as R&B, hip-hop and everything. But growing up, I've actually got to narrow down to actually limit myself to Afrobeat and gospel music. So those are the stuff that I do. I also enjoy watching movies as well, because I like watching action movies. I like watching African movies, Nollywood to be specific. I also support the Ghana movie industry, so I like watching movies from Ghana. You see me watching a variety of music. Also, watching documentaries is one of the things that I enjoy doing, because as a young person, I always want to educate myself in the field of politics, in the field of geography, in the field of any documentary economics, any documentary I lay my hands on, I want to actually watch it, because I always want to be challenged. I always want to know what's going on. I always want to actually be educated in different fields and sectors to ask myself different questions. Always, I want to come all-rounded apart from being in the science field. So those are the kind of stuff I pretty much do. And apart from that, I like writing as well. It's one of my hobbies. Which I like writing spoken words more than performing, because I'm not a performer, I'm more of a speaker. So the taste that you will get from someone who actually performs spoken word is completely opposite to mine. I'm the kind of person who always wants to write and present to people, but because I don't get people to perform my spoken word, I tend to do it myself. So it's something that I'm actually doing, I always do, and which one of the spoken word that I did that really stood out for me, that I really got a lot of attention, became a very big topic both on my university campus to the point of my university supporting it, and to date is still presented on the university's website, is the African Renaissance. I wrote it 4 years ago and I did a video of it. I performed it at different Black History events in Kent. So the whole point of that spoken word was to actually encourage Black people that, you know, slavery is not a history. That's actually the first line, that slavery is not, it's not a history. It rather came to interrupt our history. So it's actually an enlightenment to actually let Black people know that in our history, we've got a lot of great stuff. We've got a lot of stuff to celebrate. We've got a rich history that got disrupted because of someone's selfish gains here and there.
Okay.
So going through that is something that really actually stood out for me. And also I wrote one called Be a Man, which really rose a lot of conversation. That one is actually tailored more around mental health in men. Because when I check the statistics, especially in the UK, a Black man is more likely to kill himself. The rate of a Black man killing themselves due to mental health issues compared to women is very, very high. Therefore, I chose that particular topic because we all grew up in African homes, and being men, the two of us, we tend to hear this kind of words, or be a man, even if it's pointing to in your life, you are so expected to play that kind of manhood role. But at that point, sometimes they forget that as men, we are humans, and we still need that kind of support that women also actually end up feeling. Women also actually need, because we tend to actually hide behind our masculinity to feel like we are strong, we are tough, and we don't end up actually receiving the kind of support that we need as men, and even to be specific, as Black men. Henceforth, we tend to always being allowed to show behind the pain because of the gender that we have. But I use this piece, Be a Man, to actually send a message out there that if you're a man, you're allowed to cry. If you're a man, you are supposed to have a support system around you. You need help. You're not an island. You know, you are supposed to actually get the same kind of attention that our fellow women will actually have. We should also fight for that kind of attention when we're in the weakest point. Because if the danger of it is that as men, we have to have a pain, then we are not far away from suicide. So that actually brought up that kind of conversation, and it's something that enlightened a lot of people, which that's my purpose, that as much as it's spoken word, I want people to take a message out of it, to be enlightened, to be able to know how to actually go about conversations about mental health or conversations about Black history, because it's all we have. And if we don't end up actually protecting it the best way that we can, by the time we realize, we may actually end up losing it. So my spoken word is about promoting positivity, which is what I'm always about, using any platform that I'm given to promote positivity, to actually use it to encourage someone. Because apart from being speaking about these, I'm also a motivational speaker as well. So
Okay, Kwame, I think you're starting the podcast already. Just calm down a little bit for me, okay?
Yeah. So, to summarize it all, these are the kind of stuff I do to actually release my stress from my everyday life and hobby as well. So
people sleep and you just start doing work to release your stress. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Afterwards, at the end of the day, I still sleep as well. I don't joke with my sleep, because I'm a kind of person, as you already know, guys, I do a lot of work. I put my effort in. So whenever I'm tired, I'm someone who always told the people around me, I'm tired. I can't do anything. And when I'm tired, I'm actually at my weakest point, and nothing I would do will make sense. I just need my sleep. And I enjoy my sleep because people have that kind of notion that every time they see me, I'm doing work, but I do enjoy my sleep.
That's good. But you talking so much about kind of your background and what you're passionate about. It's quite strange that you didn't end up literally doing politics or philosophy or something on that sector as, I don't know, as like a main career or a main degree, and you end up doing pharmacy. What was the reason why you didn't stick with the politics and philosophy, if you don't mind me asking?
It's a question that I get asked, honestly, guys. I get asked that a lot because I have actually been in the field, or I've actually got to actually experience politics, whereby after being the chairman for MVU Parliament, I got two opportunities, to end up going and pursuing my youth politics kind of ambition in the UK Youth Parliament. But I actually realized that if I make that bold step, it was going to have a toll on my studies, which is science, because I was doing math, biology, chemistry, and physics at A-level, and it never came easy. Henceforth, I had to actually think about it. But taking a little bit back, growing up, I've always been the kind of person who wanted to be in the science field, because that is something that I feel like it stood out to me. Because I used to see politics a lot, but as a child, all the time, I used to be in a hospital. I'm not going to lie to you. And one of the things, stuff that people are afraid of, like needle, I'll be the first person to put myself with that. I want to take my needle and leave. So being in the hospital was very, very fascinating. So it was that kind of career that I was exposed to more compared to more politics. I was exposed to politics at home here, and I used to ask the question when it comes to politics. And he has briefed me a lot about Ghana history and Ghana politics here and there, but it didn't sell out much to me, honestly. Totally. So I was actually exposed more of the science field compared to the political arena. But growing up, because as they said, the circle that you're around actually influences you. And in my circle, no one actually was in the field of politics. I'm talking about when I was in primary school in Ghana. Mm-hmm. Everybody was actually in the mindset of doing science. This person wants to be a doctor. This person wants to end up being a researcher. So all of us actually had our head around it. Henceforth, I have to try my very best and push myself in the science. But the strange thing is that I was not the best science student. I just enjoyed science because it was something difficult, and I always enjoyed those kind of challenges because I wanted to prove to myself that I can do it. So I was more into the geography and the history side. I was so, like, I'll be honest, I'm not trying to actually put more credit to my history and geography and politics compared to science. So it's a bit weird that as a young person, you don't choose the easier route, which you've already discovered that you're good at, geography and history, but you want to force yourself into science. But one of our teachers put that challenge on us, whereby she was like, all of you are going to fail your science because you guys are not good. You don't know how to express yourself. But funny enough, that actually rather put a fear in us. No, sorry. It rather put a challenge on us, and we were like, you know, we're going to prove this person wrong, you know. And eventually we did. We all got A's and ones in our science. Henceforth, the door was open for me. However, because I didn't get a grade, I didn't get a grade one in English, but I got a grade two, it didn't help me to actually pursue my first choice, which was to go to Opokuare to go and study science. Rather, it gave me my second choice, which is St. Hubert, to go and study general arts. Meanwhile, that is not my focus. GR is not my focus. Science is my focus. So there were a conversation going on behind. People were like, if you have chosen schools like Prempeh College or Prosek, could have done science, blah, blah, blah. So at that point in time, I was so eager to go to secondary school to study science. But the truth is, and this thing happened at the time that, thank God, I left the country, because it happened in the same space. So when my results came and all the arrangements were being made for me to go and pursue science at Macquarie, that was when I got an opportunity to come to England. So if I had stayed in my head, I knew that if I actually got an opportunity, I'll go and study science. But the reality is that because of how the things have gone, if I step into the science class in the Macquarie, it would have been very, very difficult for me, because everybody is a Brilla, which is something that Ghanaians who understand means most brilliant students. Henceforth, you don't want to be flopping. Meanwhile, my grades actually is good enough for me to go and do GR. So if I stayed in Ghana, maybe I would have actually pursued the arena of politics straight away. So when I came to England, the opposite happened. I was more good in science than in history and geography. So I didn't see my interest in going to politics, because I was getting the A's in the sciences, the biology, chemistry, and physics. So it actually pointed me the pathway to go and study science. So a lot of people still get confused, but when even me personally, I didn't understand why God is directing me to go into the field of science and eventually pharmacy. But one thing I got to understand, being in the field of pharmacy or whilst I was at uni, it made me realize, because at uni, people were still actually pointing me, even in my pharmacy school, people were still pointing me towards the arena of politics, because they were telling me, oh, you saw your field, blah, blah. To the point of even my cousin even getting it, because it reached a point, it was getting too much into me that why are people rather saying all these kind of stuff? I've finished my second year, I'm going to my third year. Why are you trying to confuse me? But when you actually go on your knees and pray to God, all these kind of stuff tends to actually become revealing, because it made me feel like I'm lost. Am I really want to be in the science field here and there? Mm-hmm. But eventually God affirmed it that science is the field you want to be. However, I've given you these kind of skills. The reason why you're going to do politics is for you to adapt to the skills that you can use to fight for certain kind of equality within the science field. Because right now, NHS, you have got a lot of inequalities that are going on, whereby a lot of our Black healthcare professionals are not being recognized. So if you truly want someone to be very vocal about, you need someone like myself, because I've actually been trained within the field of politics, so I know how to go about stuff. Henceforth, it made me realize that, you know what, I'm in the right field, and I'm in the right field to do something that is not usually done, i.e. speak on behalf of my colleagues, to be able to raise the attention to the government. Because most often, the government, whenever they are making such decisions, they take us for granted, because they think like we cannot back. But if you've got someone like me and I form alliance or I join hands with other people, our voice will be able to make those people who are actually lawmakers or who can actually make a difference within the healthcare sector would actually look at us, because they realize that you have got someone who's not ready to keep their mouth shut. Henceforth, we need to do something about it. Henceforth, wow, that will bring change. So yeah,
now,
that I'm doing.
Yeah, now things, everything kind of making sense, you know.
Exactly. Everything is summing up. Everything is now summing up. And I didn't realize it until I stepped a little bit back, because people around me will actually understand. It was back in 2013. That was when one of my old friends drew to my attention. They were like, Kwame, have you realized that you're not one person who is doing one thing? You are doing this, you are doing that, you are doing a bit of this, you are doing a bit of that. I'm not saying, that's what she said to me. I'm not saying it's a wrong thing, but however, have you prayed to God to actually ask him, why has he put all these kind of stuff in you? Are you not sometimes confused? So it's been a conversation I've been having in my head for a long time, and even asking other people as well. And lo and behold, this date, I will never forget it. On the 4th of May, 2017, something happened. That was when God reviewed my main purpose. And all of the purposes he has given me actually interlinks. So it's something that eventually it actually made sense. And right now, when I sit down with people and I'm actually breaking it down to explain to them, for them to understand why I'm doing all these, they can understand it now compared to before. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. That's good. That's good. So Yeah, we know that you graduated from university. How was university? Was it quite easy for you or not at all?
Honestly, my university experience is one to actually, how do I say, is one to rather make a difference in other people's lives compared to myself. To me, I believe that I had to go through those kind of stuff to actually become very revealing how university structure is, how unfavorable university system can be on other people. Because as much as I went through this, I really enjoyed university because it really pushed me out of my comfort zone. And I'm proud of going through some of the experiences I went through. It actually got me to actually recognize the other part of me that I might have not known. And at the same time, it has got me a degree. So I can never say anything that I actually regret or I didn't enjoy. I definitely enjoyed, but some of the negative aspects of it was when the system was actually fighting against me, you know, and it was just right in my face and no one could actually do it except for a few people. I tried my very best and unfortunately that person left. It was like, I'm on my own, but when you've got God, you're never on your own because God is the one.
What do you mean the system? Things were against...
So, let me break it down.
Oh,
so,
no, it can be in a simple tenor. What do you mean by that?
Oh, I mean, there were certain aspects of it which were being overlooked, i.e. ethnicity circumstance. I'm one of the people who had two legitimate ethnicity circumstances, but my ethnicity circumstance was turned down. And being turned down means they will go against me.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. So it's right now, it's good that you've asked that question. It's a conversation that today, as we are speaking, I've been able to actually get the right person to speak with. I sat in the same room with the person I've always wanted to speak to today. And we've actually talked about leadership and how we are actually, the events are creating a safe space for Black students to try. And that person that I wanted to speak to was my university vice chancellor. So for me to sit in the same room and afterwards, I was able to actually have a bit of conversation for us to start to actually see into how we can actually support other Black students who will eventually apply for that university.
Okay.
So that's what I mean by the system.
Okay.
Because I believe that...
Why do you think why do you think that your reason for getting the extension was kind of rejected?
It was rejected. From my perspective, it was rejected, one, because I think the support was not there enough. Two, I was misunderstood because it was later on, that's when one of my friends actually came to explain to me that it might be. To date, I don't know the legitimate reason, because the reason that they gave me that they rejected it, to me, it doesn't make sense. Because let me just give you an example. Back in 2020, let me give you the recent one, 2020, I actually flew back home because unfortunately, I actually lost my grandmom. Mm-hmm. So I actually went home, had the funeral rites done. But prior to me going, I had this conversation. I started the conversation in summer, right? And in summer, I actually had that conversation with my personal tutor, who was one of the top heads. But unfortunately, he retired. But he actually passed the information to the other heads in the school. So they actually had, they knew about it. And they actually were very much informed about what was going on. So before I went, I actually sought the permission of the university. Bear in mind, COVID was actually not died down, but however, they've actually found ways and means of actually curbing it and ensuring that traveling is actually safe. Mm-hmm. So I sat in front of Zoom as we're actually speaking right now. We had that conversation. I had a conversation right off my head. She actually made it clear to me that I'm on my own. So to me, I'm like, why are you saying this? Are you not taking into consideration that this person has to go and actually bury a family member, first of all? Second of all, one of the people who actually gave me the green light to go is the same person who was not willing to support me when I came back. When I mean support, I was actually, I have to exclude myself for 2 weeks isolation after coming back, and his coursework was due. And since his coursework was due, he had the power to actually end up like extending it for me. I told him about it. He told me when I was going to Ghana, I even told him that he's ready to support me and everything. But when I came back, the conversation was different. It reached a point whereby I told him that I need to get some extension for me to submit it. He told me that I was trying his best, and if it doesn't work, that's all he can do. Meanwhile, he's the head and he has got power over everything. He didn't do it. He ended up failing me on that coursework. And afterwards, they were like, we are looking for evidence for the same circumstance, blah, blah, blah. And how stuff are done in Ghana when it comes to their certificate is completely different in England. So unfortunately, there were some delays and I didn't keep mute. I actually was communicating with them that they need to give me some time because this whole kind of thing needs to actually be done appropriately. So I fought very hard, and lo and behold, the evidence of the death certificate came, which they were after to actually say, like, to actually certify that, yes, I actually went to the funeral. So I actually presented it. Guess what? It got turned down. Why? Because you presented the evidence late.
Okay, so after all these stories that the struggle you're going through, like, what was going on in your mind? Like, what did you feel? Like, what was going on in your mind through that period? Because first of all, you're grieving for your family, unfortunately, mm-hmm. for your family member that passed away. And mm-hmm. also, the university says that they're going to support you, says, no, okay, you can go back and come back. And when you come back, we're going to give you the, I don't know if they say extension, we're going to support you, help you out so that you mm-hmm. don't feel behind. And then you come back, you think everything's okay. Mm-hmm. And then all this kind of happened to you. So how did you react?
To me, honestly speaking, as human beings, there's a level that we can actually fight. Mm-hmm. And I can't fight the system. I can't. Because every single person or every person I try and actually contact, they were helpless. They were not helpful to me. My own personal tutor felt like her hands are tied. She can't do anything about it. So it made me realize that, you know what, then it means like I need to actually, like, that was when I faced through stuff, but at that point in time, I never relented. It even pushed me, and I prayed to God more, because if it's a setup, God forbid, it's not going to happen, because it's my final year and my whole degree depends on this kind of year, you know? So in a way, it actually really had a massive toll on both my studies and my health. But because I'm an advocate of mental health, I never, ever let that get into me. I made sure that I had the support system, which I created for myself, i.e. family members, friends who are ready to support me, who are ready to speak to me. You know, that was a way that I actually ended up making sure that I'm actually with the right mind frame, because what happened could have actually made me lose my interest in even getting my degree, because I've been put in a very big disadvantage and I don't wish on anyone. But the university didn't realize how bad it was. You know, but they felt like, they shrugged their shoulders and felt like, it's okay, let's move on. So one of my friends brought my attention that in this country, which is Britain, whenever your nan actually dies, if it's not your mom, your dad, or your sibling, they don't take it serious. Then I'm like, did the university give me an explanation? I explained in my email that the person is not just my nan. She is basically my mom, because she's the one who raised me. My mom wasn't there, unfortunately, that time. My mom had left the country. She's the only one I knew as a mom, right? Henceforth, they need to actually understand that they shouldn't let cultural barriers become an issue on how we can determine and see people's problems. Because the way maybe people who are born in Britain, they see their nan is completely opposite to how we Africans see our nan. Because in Africa, majority of us were actually brought up by our nan rather than our mom. Henceforth, if that person actually passed away, it really has a big toll on me. And by culture, I have to represent my side of my family because I'm the first son of my mom. So if a culture becomes a barrier and it does not actually come across, then where is this whole point of diversity and inclusion? Because you have already made a pre-assumption that it's just his man. Henceforth, it's not that important for him to go. So we will actually treat it whichever way we want it to be treated, you know. So he raised my attention to it that it could be a cultural barrier that didn't make this conversation tribe. Then I'm like, then it means this university is not ready to accept, or universities are not ready to actually create an environment for Black people to thrive. Because what we have to remember is we are actually coming from a place whereby most of our family members are back at home. You cannot tell me that I need to cut ties with someone who actually ended up taking care of me and actually nurturing me to become who I am. I need to forget about that person because I've left the environment. No way. That person is still my mom, honestly speaking, which my mom will actually understand that she's basically my mom, you know. So that's where I believe the issue is. And that is what's giving me the confidence to actually sit around the table with these people to have that conversation that if they truly want people to actually try, they need to understand cultural barriers. They need to understand our culture, because you cannot make an assumption that because this is none, we should treat it differently. We should not take it personally. And you cannot tell someone how to grieve. That's the thing. Some people may grieve one or two days and they are okay. They shrug their shoulders. Their life goes on. Mm-hmm. And some people, it will take years. It will take months. You know, it will take, some people can even take a decade. You can't tell someone how to grieve. You know, so to me, I believe that's where there were misunderstandings. And to me, until I see it happen, to me, a system does not favor ethnic circumstance. And to me, it's a way or it's something that is not, how do I say, it's something theoretical that's been put in place for students to believe that you can fall on it. To me, it's not practical because it never actually helped me through my university experience. And in a way, it distorted my university experience, you know. So it's something that I'm still stand by until, you know, I see a difference being made to support other students when it comes to extended circumstances. Okay. Some people may use it as an excuse to actually get favor, but they need to understand that when someone comes forward and say they have lost two family members within a space of 3 years whilst at university, it should not be taken as a joke. The university even needs to even come and even support the student more than the students even approaches them. You know, those are the barriers, or those are the pitfalls I believe are in such institutions, because mental health is real. And students, they have not happened in my university anyway, but you hear a lot of universities whereby students actually take their lives because they can't take it any longer. People have been helpless. But at the same time, universities, oh, there's this help. Where is the help? Physically show us. And this is the challenge I'm throwing to many universities, that they always tell us that university or halls or university halls are a home away from a home. How many people feel like they belong in such institutions?
That's a question for another day.
Because university experience, I believe, can be improved much. Not only, I can only speak from my experience, and I believe that majority of Black people have gone through a similar experience I can go through. I can't speak for other culture. Not saying that I'm trying to actually brush it over, I'm naturally brush it off or sweep under the carpet. They can actually set up their own conversation. But I can only speak from my perspective, and my perspective represents a lot of people from the Black community. So that's what I'm very passionate about. But I believe that when this conversation is open, they're going to actually magnify it and actually look into individual cultures, how certain issues actually affect students, because my university experience has never been easy, you know. And I'm just grateful to God. At the end of the day, I'm just grateful to God that I might have actually been delayed in the process, but I was never denied of the opportunity to actually become a trainee pharmacist. That's what I'm grateful
for. Wow, okay.
So coming out and being in the field, what I want to give back to the community of the next Black students is that their experience are being made better.
Okay. So during the course that, you know, you were being denied by, let's say, your right to be extended because of your family members passing away, and also asking for help and explanation and people telling you, oh, you know, they can't do nothing about it. Where did you find the strength to keep pushing and keep even waiting? Like, because I interviewed someone, he says that, you know, the most terrifying thing is the waiting one. It's not even the strength to go on, but just the waiting that, you know, you have done everything possible and now you have to wait for things to settle down. Yeah. Like, where do you find the peace to be in that state?
As I said, the best way that got me out of this is because I was able to create my own support system, i.e. family and friends were willing to actually speak life into me, were willing to speak positive words into me, because they knew that I was getting to the end of the whole cycle. If this has happened in second year or third year, I wouldn't mind, but it happened in my fourth year and there's not enough time. And think about it, it's COVID. No one is responding to their emails and the level of communication was not there. The pathway or the channel of communication was not there. I've got all the evidence. I actually emailed my students' union. Guess what? They told me that, sorry, they can't do anything about it. They refer me back to my university. It's the same university who is not, actually, no one is willing to help me. I spoke to my tutor. She was like, you know what? At this point in time, I will actually advise you to focus on your final examinations and your and your dissertation. Bro, I'm not lying. I will never lie on this, because this is something that is actually very serious. And people may think I might have actually made it up, but never. I never kept quiet. All the people around my circle knew exactly what I was going through. They knew the disadvantages that I was being put into. So for me to be here and finish pharmacy, it's just by God's grace. Honestly, it's just by God's grace, because there were so many stuff. Apart from that, I nearly got kicked out from my dissertation group. Prior to that, before I came to fourth year, the university had a meeting which nearly got me excluded out of the university. So just think about it. It's something that's been premeditated from third year to my fourth year. So any excuse that they will do or they'll use against me, they will do it. They will definitely do it. I don't know the conversation that was behind the scenes, but one conversation that my own tutor told me, which before my tutor told me, God has already revealed in my dream, and I shared with my friends that, guys, this is what the university is about to do, but we need to pray about it. You know, we had one exam to write. I told them point blankly, guess what? I came back in the September. That's exactly what my teacher told me. So it means that behind the scenes, there were certain conversations that were happening, which my tutor fought on my behalf and told me that, no, this person is actually a great student. He always actually cooperated in my class. And there's no way that you guys can actually do that. You should give him a chance. And they gave him a chance and I actually proved it. You know, so it's that kind of system that I got myself into. You know, to me, I don't want to take it or tag it as a matter of race or whatever, but I want it to actually tag it as a way of how students' experience are not taken into consideration or they're not taken serious. They'll always actually bring it, oh, yeah, we'll support you. Where is the support? Just point it out. Where is the support? If there's no support, just tell us there's no support and we will find ways and means of supporting ourselves. Because there are so many people I've told. I had one time I came out of exam, I called one person I know. I told him that, bro, I think I want to take a year out. I can't do this. That's how much stress it was. And I'm not the only person who actually went through a similar thing. You know, other people who are willing to share their story will definitely tell you that that place was not a safe space for them.
Okay. You know, you said that you set your own support system. And to be honest, you know, everybody say, oh, I have a support system. Like, can you break it down into basics? Like, when somebody had just heard it so many times, but he or she actually doesn't know what support system is. and how it does function. A support system, that does it just mean having, I don't know, close friends and then talking to them whenever you feel low, or what?
So my support system were people I was accountable to. There were people that would always call to check up on me, how I'm progressing. There were people who would actually pray for me, which was really, really important. There were people who actually advised me on what to do. There were people who are supporting me academically, who are actually making sure I've got the right knowledge for my exams. There were people who were motivating me. There were people who just want to call and just have a chat with me, just for me to forget even university as a whole, for me to focus my whole attention on something else as a break. And there was people who would actually take it upon themselves to come and just physically check up on me. So that's that kind of support system that I actually had around me, you know, and also people who will study with me to make sure that I'm not alone, you know. So that is what my support system actually entailed. And it was not because of this. I've always have that kind of support system since I went to university, because I always want to have someone who I'm going to be accountable to at the end of the day, you know. And I'm someone who's always open, and I don't always want to harbor stuff to myself. When something is going wrong, I would never say it's going right. I will call someone that I would actually need their sincere advice on what's going on. So that's what my support system actually entailed.
Okay. Thanks for explaining. Thanks for explaining that. Okay. So now that you went through, so all this happened during your third year and fourth year, which are your final years for pharmacy, right?
Yes.
And you also thought of taking a gap year during that season.
Not during that was I thought of taking a gap year. Back in third year.
And what stopped you?
Actually, as I said, I've got a support system. So someone who has gone through, who has actually graduated from my university, who is now finished his training pharmacy, who was also doing his training pharmacy course at that point in time, actually presented to me the pros and cons of me taking a gap year. Which the cons were more than the pros, which means it does not actually favor me. Henceforth, I just need to just put my head down, change my strategy of actually doing stuff, and hopefully get myself back on track, which really worked for me in a certain way, you know, because back when, unfortunately, I lost my sister in second year, someone actually advised me to take the year off, but I just bottled it, or I just embraced it, which is something I would not advise anyone to actually do. Because I believe if I've taken that year, from my perspective, if I've taken that year, I would have jumped on the next flight to go to Ghana. And the way the atmosphere was in the house in Ghana, I would have been very difficult for me to come back to England, because it would have really hit me. So I just thought about it, bottled it. I spoke to my tutor. So I thought that, you know, I was going to get the support that I need. That moment, that's why I didn't get that kind of support, you know. So I felt very disappointed. So as you now understand the reason why I said the support system in my university was not the greatest. You know?
Yeah.
So some people managed to actually, there's some of them, don't get me wrong, that some of them, I felt the confidence and I became outspoken and it got changed. But the same person I got changed from right now saw me as cold and unquote, like an enemy kind of thing by speaking out and saying that I don't want this person as my tutor, you know. So it really became a very big deal, you know, for that to actually happen. And with me, every single person who knows me on the university campus knows that I'm an outspoken person. You know, that I don't hide anything. Stuff that people actually find very difficult to speak. Not outspoken person to mean that I'm radical. No. Outspoken person to the point of I make sure that I go through that kind of channel. I'll be the person who will sit who sit down with this lecturer and have that kind of conversation. That's what I mean, in a respectful manner. Let me just put it that way so that people get a picture of where I'm coming from.
Okay.
So, sorry, what are you saying?
No, I said, okay, I hear you. So, finally, I would say that, you know, throughout your difficulties in second year and also on the final year, what kept you going wasn't just your own mental, let's say, mental strength or mental stability, but was your support system?
What kept me going is, why did I start? That question kept me going, because to me, I saw the bigger picture. I actually used certain words to actually motivate me, and on top of it, it was God. Bro, if I actually tell you that it was not God, I'll be lying to you. Honestly speaking, I can never underestimate the role that God played in this, because the amount of prayers that I had, that I have to actually have, you know, because between my third year and the fourth year, that transition was God that actually made it. Because for the school heads to actually, or for the exam board, or the school heads to actually have a conversation just about me, of getting rid of me, and God just selects one person to fight on my behalf. It shows that when God actually says anything, no man can actually have any kind of say about it. Because I've had one of my colleagues I started pharmacy with, second year, he got kicked out for just one exam that he failed. He got kicked out, he didn't come back, you know. And back in second year, this one was even the saddest one. Back in second year, he told me that I failed one of my exams, maths. So I'm a kind of person, the lecturer knows me and I know myself. And that's one of the things I'll always encourage people. You know yourself. Sometimes it's not every resource that you have to take. Question yourself. You put know the amount of effort you put in, and you know the amount of resource you're expecting. Don't expect any resource that comes out. They came back and they said, I failed maths. And like, God forbid, I'm not the smartest person in the world, but I will never accept this result. Bro, I fell ill for 2 weeks. I couldn't eat. Like, I got shattered. Guess what? I sent an email. One of my mentors told me that, Kwame, have you tried this option of emailing your master lecturer to find out where exactly you went wrong that made you fail?
Mm-hmm.
Bro, I dropped the email, not knowing my lecturer is on holidays. 2 weeks later, she replied to me, Kwame, I don't know where this is coming from, but I apologize. You never failed any of my exams. Because none of the hardworking people. So, conversation closed, which people said I should have sued the university. I'm like, no, let's just close. I mean, second year, they're bringing sue in. What if they make it happen and make you fail and kick you out? You know, so I have to think wise about what could possibly actually happen. Because if God is fighting on your behalf, don't care about all this kind of stuff. So far as I'm coming back, that's what really matters. So I went to the university. I actually became the PE of the teacher for a week for opening days. For the intake of the first years. Then she showed my results. I got 97%. But they told me I failed.
You know, what?
This is the point of faith. And that's one of the things I was stressed on. Faith is what also helped me through my university. Because as much as I think I'm not the smartest person in the world or in my university, the faith that God gave me, because faith is is believing without seeing. And that's what I was seeing. Because I was blinded by the faith that I have in God, that God is going to get me through this. It's a crazy faith. And eventually he did. I got 97%, but they told me I failed it, you know. And it made me realize that, you know what, at this point in time, I can't. Do you know that what happened to me actually got one of my friends to retake her whole year? Because someone made that same person who actually inputted the data wrong, did the same thing to my friend.
Are you kidding me?
Bro, the university have to compensate her. She got 50%. The parent said she got 49%. And in master's, you need 50. No, she got 51%. The parent said she got 49%. Therefore, technically, she failed it. She went to a tutor 3 months later for them to go through her paper, and they saw 51% on the piece of paper. Bro, both the tutor and my colleague are speechless in the room. They've wasted the 3 months. And the 3 months, so many stuff has been done. They can't fast track her to go to final year. Henceforth, she has to retake that year.
Wow.
You know, So when it comes to me talking about that the system is not favoring, these are the little stuff that I'm talking about. You see that 2 or 3% difference that the person made an error actually made someone take a whole year of life out. You know, so to me, there are some of the disadvantages that I don't want to own into. Yeah, it's ways. No, it's because of someone's carelessness, someone not doing their job, not being competent to support other students to achieve their full potential. And sometimes, to remember, these lecturers are human. They've got their own personal agenda of what they want to do. You know, so that is something that I actually have to establish in my mind and push myself through, because it was just a miracle.
Yeah, because I can tell, as we've been talking, you've been mentioning God, prayers, and your faith. And you even said that faith is believing without seeing.
Yes.
But someone would say that's a bit foolish. Don't you agree with that?
From a religious point of view.
Because let's say that you actually been through quite a few challenges in these few years. Just to achieve your degree, now you're going through even your training session, sorry, your training years, and you've been faced with few difficulties, and you could have seen those difficulties that they were tangible, they were real, they were actually there to stop you from achieving your degree in these 4 years, but you said that was your faith in God, you know, faith in something that you believe within yourself, or something that you've had in your mind, something that you've read, that you haven't seen, that you believe that is going to happen.
Yep. And eventually did.
Yeah, but how does that work? For someone who doesn't believe in anything or even believe that there's a God, but still, how does that work? How can you explain that to someone who's suffering or to someone who's going through a hard time? How did you even apply to your situation to be able to come and just say this?
Thanks for the question, Ambais. To me, I've actually grown up in a religious home, right? And faith has been something that people who have not had a personal experience with God will never understand. As you said, they will term it as foolish, because you're going through this whole kind of thing and you still believe that there's going to be a turnaround. It's all based on their personal relationship with God, because at that point in time, I put all my trust in Him. I realized that my human strength is depleted. It's gone. It's done. It's just finished. I haven't got any amount of strength to fight against all these kind of stuff. If God has not intervened, who am I? And to me, over the years, I've actually observed so many stuff to the point of He revealing a decision that's been taken against me in a dream and in real life, someone coming to manifest and tell me that, yes, this is the decision that was being taken. That alone should tell me that, you know what, God is actually working on your behalf, because God actually told you before He actually got someone to reveal it to you that, you know what, you're not safe. You need to make sure that you actually step up the game, because else you've lost your chance over here, you know. And it's something, as I said, it's a personal relationship with God. And to me, it's over the years, God knows that I've given all His glory to Him. I worship Him. And everything that I do, I put Him first, even if I know that it's going to pass through, I still put God first, because if I put God first, anything that is coming to attack, it will pass through God first. And if that thing is bigger than my God, it has to actually end up pushing my God out of the way before it can come and attack me. Henceforth, I've shielded myself behind my God. Henceforth, that's how it's like in my faith. I've actually thought and actually developed my mental capacity that at this point in time, thinking of it not being possible can make me pack all my stuff from my room, jump into my car, or jump onto the next day, come to London and tell my parents that I'm done with uni, it's over. However, I have to actually develop that kind of mentor kind of capacity on the other side and look at it that way, that if God has been able to do for so and so, which most often I rely on the Bible, because when you go into the scriptures, there are so many pages that will point out to you that it was not meant to be. Because using, for example, as I'm reading 1 Samuel, for example, talking about the David and Goliath. David and Goliath's story should even tell you that, you know what, we serve a living God, because David was not holding any armor. He was only holding a stone and a sling. Goliath, who had all the armor and everything behind him, he was able to actually swing this. He was actually able to actually put the stone in the sling. And it actually broke a whole fully built man. It broke his skull. He fell down and he was dead. If that's not faith, what else is faith? You know, if that's not faith, that made David seeing this gigantic man, which the stature of Goliath, God knows, only the way the Bible describes it, when we are imagining it, he's like a beast, like he's a big man that David cannot even look up to him. Like when he's actually looking up, you can't face him. That's how I see problems as. That's how I see what I went through as. That I know that my problems are big, but I know my God is bigger than my problems. Henceforth, I'm not going to stress too much on my God or pay more attention to, I'm not going to pay too much attention to my problems. I'm rather going to focus on how it's going to be solved. Because sometimes when the solution is in mind, it gives you the drive. Mm. And one of the things I want to touch on is the drive. What is your drive? Because sometimes you can have all the faith, but have you got the drive to continue? If God clears all the ways for you, have you still got the drive to be in that particular position to serve people? Or have you got that same energy to reconsider that opportunity? So that is how I would describe faith or whatever I went through to someone who is a non-believer or someone who does not or might be a believer but might have not experienced it, and they think the approach I took might not actually be reasonable. But that is how I can actually summarize or the picture I can paint for the person to imagine to see.
Okay. Wow. And I'm pretty sure you believe that, you know, what you've been through has shaped you to the man that you are today.
100%. Yeah, shaped me and has even made me even much more vocal.
Okay.
Because if I sit around the table, I know the conversation I'm going to start with.
Okay. So am I right saying that you're kind of grateful that you've been through that? Or
100%. Bro, okay. I can never, ever, ever. I've got a project that is coming. So, you know, when you see that project, you realize and you actually see that I never talk down upon any challenges that I've been through. I don't want to say that was a loss. I'd say that it's a challenge because it's really shaped me one way or another. Because if I've not been through it, always, this is what I put through. Always, whenever I'm praying, I pray to God that, God, this is my whole mindset, right? For you to become a warrior, you have to go war first to gain the title as a warrior, right? Exactly. So if I consider myself as a warrior, I should go through certain experiences, right? For me to actually understand the process. And that experience and the process will shape me, you know? So for me, my challenges actually have shaped me to be the person I am. They have shaped me for me to be able to actually have a different thinking wavelength, the way people may think about certain circumstances. Because back in the days, whenever someone actually experienced something, you end up actually saying, oh yeah, go apply for 15 circumstance. But because I've gone through that kind of period before and I'm questioning certain circumstance, I'm giving the person, I'm highlighting to the person that don't end up, sorry to use this word, don't end up messing up and think that the extenuating circumstance will save you. There have been so many people who relied on this circumstance and unfortunately they got kicked out of the university because it didn't save them. You know, so it has helped me to highlight the real problem that many university students might be actually experiencing, that I'm not being highlighted because they think I've got out of the institution. It doesn't bother me any longer. Two, I haven't got a voice or no one is going to hear me. Three, they may think I'm being radical. Henceforth, I'm going to be pushed away. You know, But have we realized that if we don't end up staring, if we don't end up solving the problem stares at us? Because some time to come, I might not know, but a young person might end up actually going through a similar thing. And I'll be disappointed in myself. Why? Because when it happened to me, I wasn't vocal enough to speak about it. Have I realized, have I known that if I have solved or I've sat on the table to actually around the table to have that conversation with the key people, they would have listened to me, made a change for that young person who actually have experienced something similar that I went through. They might not have gone through it. They might not have gone through that, you know, but because I kept silent and decided that, you know what, I'm out, it doesn't bother me any longer. It has come down to hunt another young person and hunt me as well, you know. So to me, the challenges has really, really shaped my thinking. It has really shaped me and has really given me something to talk about. Not just talk about, but take action against it.
Oh, so were you able to have this perspective whilst you were going through your challenges?
Yeah, I had the perspective because the funny thing is that I had two phone calls from the university asking about students' experience. You know, and anytime, you know where the conversation is about to go. Every time I pick the first conversation I had, the person never thought that as a student, I would wait to have that conversation. The person was shocked. I'm like, yeah, you thought I'm going to pick up the phone and pick up this university. Like, yeah, this university is doing amazing. They're supposed to. No, I'm telling the reality. So if you think you're not ready, then bang the phone on me. I'll really accept it. The second person was very empathetic, but the person's hands were tied that they didn't know where to direct me to have this conversation. They were like, oh, did it affect your mental health? Like, thank God I'm an advocate of mental health. Henceforth, I knew the kind of measures to put in place to support myself. It's not like I kept my mouth shut. I spoke to people, but the people didn't help me. You know, so it is something that I actually ended up actually not keeping my mouth shut about it. And I actually made sure that at the end of the day, I want to do it. But the funny thing is that I gave up on it. Because I've graduated from the university how many months? Like, I think 3 months. 3 months ago, yeah, 3 months. I never brought that conversation. But guess what? Whenever God has given you a mission, regardless of how long it is, He will make sure that He plants that kind of connection for you to speak to the person. And lo and behold, I met the vice chancellor of the university who sat in the same room for me, up with me, to have the conversation about the changes that they're creating for Black students or Black leaders to actually thrive in the university. And I approached her and I told her that, honestly speaking, I didn't have the best of experience. And I want to see, or I want to know how an alumni like myself can actually contribute to making sure that Black people have the best experience in this university. And she gave me the contact. You know, that's how the conversation starts. Because from the channels that I was going through, do you think the conversation will reach her that a student actually came here, the EC or the student circumstance they applied was rejected, but meanwhile, it was legit? No. She wouldn't have heard about it. It would have been brushed away because it's useless. It's easy. They've thrown it away. They didn't accept it, you know. But right now, I'm going to have that conversation. It will make her actually have that kind of microscopic eyes to make sure she dissects the problem to find out how is she making sure that students are having the best of time. And thank God, by God's grace, it's my graduation on Monday. And she's one of the people who are actually leading this graduation. And right now, I've registered my face in her face. She knows my name. And last weekend, by God's grace, I actually won an award for my social activism. Mm-hmm. And University of Greenwich is one of the sponsors or supporters of this, the reason why I'm on this boot camp here and there. So they know the topics and they know what we've been taught. Henceforth, as students who have gone through such an experience in her institution, if that student is sitting around the table, she knows the kind of conversation you're going to have. It might not be the most comfortable conversation, but all that we need is a change. And for the change to happen, she's got the power to bring that change on board. And that's something I'm really happy about, that you know, today I sat in that kind of room, and something that I thought there was no hope, that I have forgotten about it, it actually was actually revived, and hopefully I'll be able to get through the channel and actually it will reach her for them to do something about it.
Wow. Wow. Wonderful. Wonderful. Do you have like final words for someone who's actually going through a problem where he or she cannot see or even imagine or think about any solution, like literally pitch black? Do you have any words for this person or how they can go through it, and how they should still have hope even though they cannot see the end?
One thing I would tell the person who might be going through is, first of all, remember that we as humans need each other. Find the people you confide in who will be willing to actually give you the best of advice. And finding the people to confide in, it's not always going to be your mom or your dad or your sibling. It could be that friend who you know that is going to actually support you and give you the best of advice. Confide in that person, you know, check through your university, check through who you can actually speak. If you are a student, whichever level of studies you are, speak to the head, you know, make them aware that this is what you're going through. You know, make sure that you actually get that kind of conversation started to make sure that you are getting the support. And apart from that, I would actually encourage you, if you are someone who is actually belongs to a religious body, that, you know what, God is the ultimate person. Pray on, actually cry on God to actually make sure that you are actually getting the drive, because as human beings, we can easily give up. The thin line between someone achieving and the person not achieving is because of the drive. Someone might be at the very point whereby if they apply a little bit of effort in whatever they're doing, they could end up actually hitting the jackpot or hitting the goal that they wanted to achieve. But because of something that happened and they didn't have the drive, it made them actually not become resilient and actually give up. That doesn't make you a failure, because all of us have got different strengths. You know, what I went through, lots of people, whenever I share this story, they end up telling me that they would have given up. It doesn't mean that I'm stronger than the person. It's just that, it's just by God's grace that I never actually gave up. It might be that the person didn't get the same support system that I actually ended up actually having, mm-hmm. you know, or the person wasn't having that kind of great connection with God. But mm-hmm. it's not too late, honestly speaking. There's no time boundary on whatever you want to achieve. You know, if you look at most of these successful people, some of them actually ended up actually achieving, or they ended up getting the key to what they are actually living by right now when they were really old, you know. So if you're a young person, you're listening to this, you have not failed. You're not a failure. It's not too late. It's just that maybe you have to step back a little bit for you to look at stuff in a different perspective and see how you are going to actually restructure stuff, make sure that it actually comes into existence. One thing I will also say is never give up, you know, because giving up is something that, even if you have grown old and you are actually in your old age, that kind of dream that you wish you actually achieve, or one thing that you wanted to do, it will still come back into your memory that you wish. Because to me, one of the things I don't want to end up actually doing is saying when in my olden age that I wish I did this. Now, everything that I wish I want to do, I'm doing it right now. People will not always actually understand you, the reason why you are doing it. But at the end of the day, when that kind of difference is being made, they'll realize that it was tangible and it was reasonable enough for you to fight your fight.
Wow. That was wow. Thank you very much for the kind words that you have just shared, you know, into our podcast. One thing that I'll take away from this conversation on this particular topic, you know, whatever it takes, is definitely having a support, you know, a support group, or creating, if you don't have one, creating one, mm-hmm. yes, which is made up for people. They don't have to be, as you said, you know, your parents, your family members, but, you know, anyone whom you can see that is willing to, you know, to help you out, and also for yourself to kind of be the support system for the other person. And one thing as well, that, you know, when we go through challenges, that those challenges are there to also kind of shape us into becoming, I don't know, the best of ourselves, if I can say that. So I've definitely learned a lot, you know, from this conversation. And thank you for accepting, you know, the invitation. You know, we'll be trying for quite a few weeks or maybe even a month to meet up.
Well, I think this thing was like last year. We were supposed to have it last year with I was supposed to have it with Osborne. Actually contacted me last year, but there were so many, you know how busy both of us are in terms of schedule. You'll be at work. I'm like, I'm ready. I was like, oh, I'm sorry, I'm at work. You will call me. Sorry, I've got this going on. So it was when this evening the devil was trying to actually make sure that it does not happen. I'm like, no, bro, this has to happen this evening, because I'm in the safe space, mm-hmm. and I can actually see progress on what I'm actually doing and everything. And thank God that, you know, all this kind of stuff I'm actually doing, by God's grace, is not actually going unnoticed. When I mean unnoticed, I mean it's been impactful on people, mm-hmm. and people are actually sharing their own personal stuff with me about how it's helping them. And thank God, last weekend I actually received the Social Activist Award, you know, which is something that's very close to my heart, because it now puts me in that kind of category that I need to actually stay focused and actually continue to actually have that kind of good fight, because it's actually worth it, you know. Mm-hmm. And to me, it's not the award that's signifying, it's the difference is actually making people's lives. That's really actually making a big statement to me that people need help, and the activism that I've taken is driving me to actually pursue it as a career within the field of science. So it's a combination of actually having that kind of drive, that political drive, combined with science to make difference in people. So that is what I'm actually standing for. And I pray to God that He will give me the strength to continue with all the works. And by God's grace, it will continue to manifest in our community.
Amen. Amen to that. Before you leave, please ask, you know, you're very much more informed about mental health and and this kind of topics, please. If anyone who's listening is going through stuff, where and in the UK, where can they reach out? Where can they find help for themselves?
In terms of if the person is going through stuff related to their mental health, and it comes in different shapes and forms. Sometimes the person may feel tired. Sometimes the person may feel the drive not to do anything. The person might be going through some painful kind of, is it right to say the word? They might be going through a very tough pain. When I mean pain, I mean physical pain,
yeah,
in different parts of the body. And sometimes they might be grieving. You can contact your GP and they can actually go through it for you with you and see it. But if you yourself do understand that, you know what, it's reached a point whereby I'm losing it. Is my mental health that has been messed up. It's nothing to do with any kind of paracetamol, whatever. You can go to the Samaritans. The Samaritans, their phone number is on there, or you can go to www.samaritans.co.uk. They've got a lot of information on there, and they are more than willing. They are open. They are always opening their arms to actually welcome people, to support them and everything. And apart from that, make your support group. One of the things I wanted to add is make your support group your advocate. Why am I saying this? Because these people can speak life within you. That's why always it's important, the company that you keep around you. The company you keep around you can have an effect on your mental health, you know, because at this point in time, as we're having this conversation, I don't want to actually get closer to anybody who wants to speak negative into anything I'm doing, i.e. are you sure this thing is going to work? Or are you doing this? Or why are you doing that? Like, that's not want to support me, but I want to actually tear or shoot it down. I cannot associate myself with such a person, because we haven't got that kind of wavelength whereby my drive that I'm using and the effort I'm putting in there it's not actually helping. And at the end of the day, people don't know that the words of people can actually have effect, because the person has already ended up questioning what you're doing, but subconsciously you have been thinking about it, thinking about it, thinking about it. The next point in time, you've given up. You've let the person's words actually hit you or have an effect on you, on what you're doing. Henceforth, you have got no option of than to give up. So I would say that your company needs to be very, very oriented. You know, they need to be actually mental health oriented. They need to actually have that kind of stuff in mind to support you. You know, not anyone who is willing to speak anyhow against you. You know, because my mentor who has written a book, The Power of Your Words by Nana Chertra, the book has actually got a lot of positive words in there. The page that always, whenever she asks me, the page that stands out to me is I Am. It's got a whole list of stuff that are positive. I am positive. I am responsible. I am going to make it. Because if you wake up every single morning and you feel like giving up and you open that kind of page, that page alone will make you satisfied. That, why should I give up? Because these words are manifested in my life. And what we have to remember is words are spirit. If someone can say something negative against someone coming from Africa, which if someone cares to someone, it comes into existence, how much more someone cannot actually say something positive on someone and it will not come into existence? You know, so to me, it's all about positivity. That's what I actually stand for. That's what I'm driven towards. You know, people who are there to actually question about people's ability in achieving this here and there are not within my circle, and I wouldn't actually encourage it. I'll try my best to change the person's mindset, but if I realize that what I'm doing is not even having an effect on the person, that the person wants to still actually speak down upon them, so be very pessimistic, then sorry, I have to leave that environment, because I myself might even end up putting myself in danger.
Okay. Wonderful. I think this definitely is going to be the longest podcast I've ever recorded.
You already know, when you go call me on it, I just won't actually share as much as I can.
That's fast. It took us 1 year, so you know, you give us everything that you reserved.
Exactly. And even I think that the time that you Osborne and you wanted me to be on, I don't think I would have been able to give much in-depth kind of conversation, because
you were going through that time.
Exactly. I was still in it, so I didn't see any way out. So it would have been a half-cooked conversation. It would have been a fully cooked. But right now that I'm out of it, I feel like it has been is ready to be served to the audience and the listeners, because I've shared is actually something I've tested, I've been tried, and I'm actually now sharing with the audience. So
Wonderful. That's
a thing. And at the end of the day, I've got a massive project that's actually coming, you know, which actually summarizes a whole lot of stuff I'm actually doing, going through, and everything. So it's still in the pipeline, by God's grace. The first bit of it has been done. So it's down on my part for me to actually get the ball rolling. So hopefully, by God's grace, everyone, including the listeners, will hear about it. So maybe I'll get an invitation from you and Osborne again and the team to actually come back to share it.
No problem. Whenever it's done, just hit us up and we'll definitely organize something with the two of us. Wow. Now, thank you again for coming. Thank you for coming with your busy schedule. And where people can find you on social media if they want to contact you, if they can, of course, you're busy.
Oh, they can contact me. I'm actually very active on Instagram at BIGQUAMMI at BitKwami. So that is actually the only social media I'm using. If you go on Facebook and you find me there, I'm not active. I've deactivated my Facebook account. God knows how many years that I stopped using Facebook. LinkedIn, that is also another platform, but I don't use it for my socials. I use it more for professional. So if you want to actually get hold of me, Instagram will be the best place that you will definitely be able to actually end up getting hold of me. So any listeners who would like to actually have that kind of conversation or anything with me, that's the place that you find me.
Okay. Wonderful, wonderful. All right, Kwame, I'll let you go to enjoy your evening.
Thank you very much. And same to you. Thanks for actually inviting me. And I'm more than willing to actually come back when invited again.
Okay, thank you. It's a pleasure. Bye.
Thank you very much. Bye.
So, we're still here, right? A lot of people thought we wouldn't make it this far.